to Mark chapter 14. We'll start reading in verse number 33. And it is a very, very heavy subject to me. I will ultimately fail at this subject, but I promise God I'll do my dead level best at reading these scriptures and expounding what the Lord's given me to expound. And so I ask you to pray for me and pray for yourself. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, verse number 33, it says, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. Jesus Christ was very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. I mean, man, that's some heavy words to me. Them words is falling from the mouth of God Almighty. Do you hear me? God in the flesh is telling his disciples that his soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. And he said he went forward a little and fell on the ground. Isn't that something? And prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. If you remember in the other scriptures, he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And in this text, he calls it the hour. He wants it to pass from him. He said, verse number 36, Abba Father, this is him praying, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Isn't that something? Here we can see the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to try to draw you a picture in your mind's eye if you'll try to get a hold of it this morning. I want you to see something more than what we typically get to see by just skipping across these pages. But we can see Jesus Christ here in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's never been a happy picture. It's never been a fun thing to look at. But nonetheless, he's here, and we know that the scriptures say it's for this very reason that he came to this earth. I mean, boy, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ looked at his disciples and said, I'm real heavy, fellas. There's a heaviness on me. There's a weight that I'm bearing right now. There's a load on me. And it's almost more than I can bear. And I feel this thing coming on me, and I'm sorrowful unto death. Boys, I need you to just kind of sit here and pray. As I go a little bit further in this garden, I try to get a hold of my Father. And man, what a heaviness. What a sad picture. But we know it's because of sin that Jesus came into this world. It was sin that was carrying Jesus into this dreadful place. He came to be a sacrifice for Adam's race. The book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 explains to us that because of Adam, all are going to die. But because of the second Adam, all might live. Talking about Jesus. He came to destroy sin and put it back in its rightful place, which is hell. He came that he might destroy the works of Satan, which is rebellion and sin and everything else. And I say, boy, when I got to thinking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Steve, I've sat down this week and just meditated on the Lord Jesus Christ been in the Garden of Gethsemane. How he must have saw me down through the years, and how he saw me as a sinner, lost and depraved and without hope. But Jesus could see that in that Garden of Gethsemane, but then he had this pinned down. But God, though I was lost, and though I was helpless, and though I was depraved, though I was damned for a devil's hell, the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, thank God, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, and through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So we can see it was for this very hour, for the hour of sin, for this very day that Jesus is over there in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why he came. He came so that he could go into that garden and feel that heaviness. He came so that that load might come upon him. He came that he might suffer and feel that what he felt in that place. If you will, turn with me to John chapter number 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John chapter number 18. Verse 1 and 2, the Bible says this. John 18, 1 says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples. He's going into the Garden of Gethsemane, but he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, listen, knew the place. He knew this garden. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Here Jesus is again going into the Garden of Gethsemane in John chapter 18. But it says that he's passing over this book, Kidron. If you'll follow that book Kidron, that brook Kidron, all through your Bible, there's something that you're going to notice about it all the way through the Bible. That book, that brook Kidron was a place of abominations. You have to understand that this brook Kidron was a place, see, with that these children of Israel would build up these false idols, whether it be of gold or whether it be of clay or whatever material it might be. And the man of God would come through town and they would preach and God would revive the nation of Israel or visit with Israel, and Israel would get right with God, and they would take those graven images, they would take those idols and they would break them into pieces and they would take them over to this river Kidron and they would throw them in that river. They would take those idols, or they would take their sins and they would cast them into that river. At that time of sacrifice, they would throw their sins, their problems into that river to rid themselves of that sin. They would take these clay idols and grind them up into a powder, go over to this brook Kidron and dump the powders into this brook. They would take and abort their babies, by the way, and they would take their dead baby bodies over to the brook Kidron, and they would throw them dead babies into that river to get rid of those baby bodies. But every time Jesus wanted to go out of Jerusalem into the Garden of Gethsemane, he had to cross this brook. He had to cross over and look in there. You know what Jesus saw? He saw the abomination of the people. Every time he passed that thing, man, he could hear the blood of those babies crying out of that river. He could see all those false idols. He could see all of that idolatry. He could see all the fornication, all the lies, all the drugs, all the drunkenness, all the stupors and depravity of mankind. And he would go into that garden. That load would get upon him as he looked upon all that sin and how he would feel the heaviness of what he just saw as he passed through that brook Kidron. Don't think that it was there by mistake. Don't think that God didn't let that river, that brook flow where it flowed. And don't think that that garden wasn't in that place on purpose. God wanted him to cross that place. God wanted him to see why he was entering into Gethsemane. God put it there as a reminder. But way back in the ends of time past, this is what we agreed to, son. That you was going to take this load and bear it on your shoulders. Man, you're going to have to deal with this, Jesus. They would take all of their sins, all of their idols, everything. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that you and I have ever dealt with, everything that you and I, Everything that you and I ever had, ever did, everything you and I ever transgressed, are you understanding this? Every trespass, every transgression, every iniquity, every sin, every idle thought, every filthy word, everything that we ever did against the Holy God was placed in that brook Kidron. And way in the ages of time, Jesus could look into that and say, I must bear this. Hey, hold on a second. If you'll remember reading over in the book of Psalms, this is what David said. It's going to ring a bell. David said that he would have to drink of the brook in the way. Oh, what was Jesus talking about? Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Where in the name of God do you think they drew the water from? They got it out of that book that David prophesied about. That Jesus is going to have to drink from the brook. What brook? He's going to have to become sin for us. He was going to be made sin for us. He took that sin in his body. He took every disease, every sickness, every sorrow, every sin, and bore that in his body. God knew exactly where to put that brook. He knew exactly where to put that garden. Here the Son of God crosses over that brook Kidron and looks, and what a reminder he's here to do. What a reminder that he came to accomplish on planet earth. Can't you imagine, Zach, the more he looked across that river, the more he looked across that brook, the heavier that load got on him. Can't you see the tons and tons of weight that Jesus was bearing as he entered into the Garden of Gethsemane? And he said, men, wait here. He said, I am loaded down, about as heavy as I can get. The suffering of Jesus Christ, bearing our sins, the holy, perfect, spotless, sinless Son of God, taking on every sin on planet earth, becoming every filthy reprobate that you could ever imagine, every ungodly sin, every crime, everything ever committed against the Holy God, Jesus had to become every bit of that. I'm talking about God in the flesh. God, who knew no sin, looked in that brook and said, that's gotta be me. I've gotta be that drunkard right there. That's gotta be me. I gotta take his place. That child of rebellion, that prideful heart, he said, I've gotta take that and put it back where it belongs. You listen to me. I have a real problem when people don't believe Jesus went to hell. Sin come out of hell, ladies and gentlemen. That's the birthplace. Hey, listen, friend. Sin came out of hell and God knew that it had to go back to where it came from. It's the devil's home. I mean, for God's sakes, it wasn't David in hell. David never went to hell. Let me tell you where David's flesh is. It's rotten in a grave somewhere. Jesus Christ, thank God's the one that went to hell for us. Brought up through that great gulf. Hallelujah. He said he drew me out of many waters. That great gulf that Abraham couldn't pass. Thank God. God was able to bring his son through that great gulf. Put sin in its rightful place. You don't think Jesus was under a load? You don't think Jesus was heavy? You don't think Jesus felt that leprosy in his body? You don't think Jesus felt them little children laying over at the Baptist hospital? You don't think he felt that pain? You don't think he felt that suffering, friend, caused by the sins of a parent? Oh, Jesus felt it. He looked at his disciples. He said, I'm under such a load. Boy, stay here and pray for me. I gotta go over here and get a hold of my father. I'm under this thing where it's almost about to kill me and I need some help along the way. Tell you some friend of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if he needed the helping hand of his Father, how much more do you and I need God all life's way to pick us up and carry us a whole life? I'm telling you, we better learn how to find us a corner somewhere and let go of this whole world and get a hold of God and say, God, I'm under a load. I can't bear it on my own. I can't make it another mile. But if you'll help me, we can make it all the way home. Yeah. We're going to learn how to trust in the Lord with all of our heart.
good day.
This world ain't gonna help us. Politicians can't help us. I'm telling you, friends, sometimes this load gets heavy and this whole world gets hard and the way seems to grow dim every once in a while. And you better find you a Garden of Gethsemane somewhere to learn how to pour your heart out to a holy God and let God help us along the way. Won't make it. Our homes won't survive. Our families won't survive. Our churches won't survive. Our friends won't survive. We better learn how to get a hold of God. I look at young people, middle-aged people, and old people alike. I say, man, there's hurt in the heart of children across America. There's hurt in the heart of moms and dads. There's hurt in the heart of teenagers. There's hurt in the heart of old people. I'm telling you, friend, Jesus Christ is that sweet balm of Gilead. You'll find it in the Word of God, that sweet balm of Gilead. Thank God you can open up that book and it'll heal the wounds of your soul. You can take the precious Word of God and let Jesus begin to do surgery in your life. And He can touch the broken hearts and He can mend our lives back together. God chose this place. God chose this place. He chose that garden. He made sure that Jesus had to pass that brook of iniquity. He made sure that Jesus had to look down at them abominations, showing God, son, this is why we're doing what we're doing. Entered into that garden. Don't you know that when Jesus was being led away, listen, don't you know that when Jesus was being led away with those soldiers, one final time He looked back across that brook. One more time, them old wicked men had a hold of the Lamb of God. Boy, they was taking Him out of that garden back over there to see the rulers and all the religious folk. And Jesus one more time had to pass that brook and say, Father, Thy will be done. This is why I'm here. This is why I came. As He saw the abortions, as He saw the sin flowing through that river, He said, that's why we're here. I want everybody to know that we're going to come out of this thing victors. Amen. I like that song we sung a while ago. As He kneels in the garden, He prays. He feels the load, the heaviness of what's coming up. He kneels there. Whoa, what's the heaviness? He's got to fulfill John 1:29. When John stood up down in Judea and banks baptizing and the Lamb of God come up over that hillside, and John just in amazement told that crowd where he was preaching to, he said, oh, behold the Lamb of God. Y'all stop and look. That's the one right there. They're going to take a hold of Him over in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're going to lead Him up to the mockery of an unfair trial. But He's going to take away the sins of the world. That's why He's here. That's why He's here. Amen.
Good
boy. The Bible says that He was obedient unto death, ladies and gentlemen. I like that. But it doesn't stop there, Michael. It says He was obedient unto the death of the cross. Why wasn't He just good enough to be obedient unto the death? Why did it have to be the obedience of the cross? Because everybody's going to die. You understand? He didn't die just like everybody else. His death was a special death. Amen, son. He didn't die like the rest of us, friend. He died just to be laid there for 3 days and get up. Thank God. He took care of a lot of business when He went down. You understand? The Old Testament says this, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I ain't met nobody that was nailed to a tree and died. Spiritually I have. But that death of the cross just made things a little bit different. You have to understand it. I don't want to go too deep into this. But you understand that when people died on those cross, when those Roman soldiers would put a man on that cross, they didn't tend to take them down. Them Jews like that, when they crucified them Jews, they didn't take them down too often. Then let them sit up there and rot so there wasn't nothing left but a bunch of spikes and a wooden tree.
Right.
Then let them sit up there and rot away.
Right.
Jesus did. Hey, out of the mercy of the Jews begging for the body of Jesus Christ, they showed mercy and let them have the body of Jesus so that the scriptures could be fulfilled. God had it all figured out. It was all planned. It wasn't just any death. It wasn't just a death like everybody. Hey, listen, this was a death that separated the Godhead.
Yeah.
It took the Godhead and ripped it apart. It wasn't just a normal death. This was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost dying on an old rugged cross. This was them taking that bird in the Old Testament, ripping his hair off, saying, I'll take care of this Godhead. Jesus sitting there and he took that bird,
Amen.
Took that Godhead,
Amen.
Ripped it apart.
Amen.
Never one time did Jesus and his Father ever have two different opinions.
No.
Never did they see things different.
No.
Never did one think one thing and one think another. It was always perfect. It was always order. Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
But there on that cross, Miss Holly, they took and separated their Godhead. Just
right.
This wasn't just a normal death. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't just an ordinary guy dying, man. This was the very Godhead. This is the one that stepped out in Genesis and said, let there be light. This is the one that said, let's make man in our image. This is the one that hung the sun and the moon and the stars. This was the one that carved out the seas and put the mountains in their place. This is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This was the Godhead hanging on that cross. Never done anything wrong. Never rebelled against his Father. Never spoke back. Never even had a bad thought hanging on that cross. They said they brought him over before Pilate, and I don't know a human being alive that could do it. The Bible said he opened not his mouth. They sat there and falsely accused him. You understand, when he was sitting over at Pilate, Pilate said, I got the power to kill you. Jesus could have spoken and wiped the whole crowd out. He's obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is what the cross tells me. The cross tells me that this death had to be a cursed death. Jesus Christ, God's Son, had to be cursed. That's right. Yeah, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He had to be cursed. What was the curse? It was to break him away from his Father. If the curse was to see his Father turn his back, because the law of that Spirit of life had departed from the Son. Something, ain't it? Not a normal death. It's not a normal death. How many times has a father lost a son? How many times have you seen people where their child may have been laid up and they were knocking on death's door? How many decent parents in this world, and I mean God is a good father. He's the best, friend. But how many good fathers and how many good mothers do you know of that will let their son laid knocking on death's door that won't do everything? Hey, if they had to stop the world, they would go to the end of this world to stop the world to make that death go easy. I don't know a mama or a daddy alive that wouldn't make every preparation and that wouldn't do everything in the world to try to help that son in that situation. God the Father never stepped in. I was thinking about it, Miss Stephanie. It's no ordinary death. The conditions were not comfortable conditions. They didn't go out and make things easy for him. Can't you see it? The loved ones slip away. We prepare things. We try to make it as easy as possible. I mean, for a child laid up, as Jesus was knocking on death's door, he kneels up. He's over in the Garden of Gethsemane, ladies and gentlemen. He's over there knocking on the door of death. He's over there looking death in the eyes. He's over there looking on this separation. This is going to cause me and my Father. This is going to cause the Godhead to be torn apart. I thought about it. Miss Tanya, one of the saddest things I've seen in a long time was the little man when he was laid up in that hospital. That's right. She sent me a picture of Isaiah over there with pneumonia. Just hard to look at, man. That's tough seeing them little kids hurt, sick, suffering. It's tough. I just left up there in Massachusetts watching my son lay up there, and he said we'd have done anything to pull him up out of that ICU and give him a good bill of health. We'd have done anything. You hear me? Hey, listen, man, I ain't trying to pump it up. I about wish Matthew wasn't even here to hear it, but I mean, we was willing to drive or travel 26, 30 miles, 30 hours, 26 to 30 hours. We was willing to go that far, spend everything that we had so that we could be up there on Sunday night. And I put my hand in his hand. And I said, Lord, it's just me and you now. I pray that you'd help my boy. That's right. Son, from the bottom of my heart, I sit over at a hospital bed. Hey, nobody even knew I prayed, but God knew I prayed. And I prayed over my son. You say, why? Because, man, I wanted to see God do something. You hear me? You say, man, that means nothing. That was a little garden against Cindy for me, okay? I was hurting at the time. It's my boy. Sitting in them pictures, I imagine they didn't do anything to give him a clean bill of health. God never did it. God stayed out of the way. He let them old sinful men come take a hold of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear God, church. What did they do? They led him away. They took him to a whoop. They put him in an old jail cell somewhere, huh? They put him in an old nasty place and just said, hey, we're gonna treat you like a dog for a few days and let you think about all it. While that angry crowd sitting up there and said, hey, crucify him! Crucify him! Set Barabbas out there and said, hey, how about Barabbas? He's been a little old thug ever since he was a boy. He ain't never done nothing but rob and stole and just cheated his way through life. He deserves to be on this. They said, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Took Jesus out of there, put him to a whooping post. As far as I can tell in the scripture, Zach, I believe it's fair to say that Pilate beat the devil out of him. Right. Oh, it was that guy. Hey, listen, you'll never see in your Bible where a Roman soldier ever did anything like that. Listen, friend, Pilate took him down there and scourged him, is what your Bible says. You don't think Pilate knew? His wife told him fair and square what he was doing, said, you better leave that man alone. You know what Pilate stood up there and said? I can find no fault in this man. Took him down there and scourged him. The Bible says that they took and beat him with a, they beat him till he, not even recognizable as a man. I would imagine, I don't know, and Hollywood can't do no justice, and I don't need Hollywood to draw me a stinking picture of Calvary. But according to your Bible, the Bible says when you see, you're not going to desire him. There's going to be no beauty there. It's going to be an ugly mess. Everybody wants a little old pretty Jesus. Pretty little locks in his hair. Nice little old sandals. Clean little white robe. The Bible says if you ever do see him, there's no beauty. Oh, he traded this beauty, ladies and gentlemen, a long time ago for ashes over in that Garden of Gethsemane. Wasn't worried about beauty, son. If you're attracted to him for the way he looks, you're attracted to the wrong thing. I'll tell you that. Hey, man, I'll give Flip what he looks like, to be honest with you, as far as that goes. That's right. Bible says that when you see him, he's not going to look like a man. Not that he's going to look like a sissy, but they're going to beat the look off of him. Can't you see the Lord Jesus? Hey, listen, listen. Can't you see the love of the Lord Jesus? Bible says that he lifted up his head to Calvary. Steve, I've said it before. They put that cross on his back. And I'll be honest with you. I don't care if anybody helped him bear that cross or not. Don't let this world and the NIV and everybody else convince you of one thing. It doesn't matter. So what? So what? Somebody helped him bear his cross. I don't care. Guess who died on that cross? Guess who bore our sins and our shame and our sorrow? Guess who did all that? Right. Guess who went to hell? Guess who went to that grave? grave. Guess who went back to heaven? Guess who sat at the right hand of the Father? I don't care if they helped him bear that cross.
No.
I tell you what, I've carried enough lumber in my lifetime to know this anyway. You get a load of lumber on your shoulders and start dragging it. If somebody comes along and picks it up, all that does is shifts the weight heavier on you. I know all that. If 10 people jumped in there and helped him, it didn't make the ordeal any better.
No.
This whole world wants to make Calvary a little bit better. You can't make it any better, friend.
No. It's a good day.
Jesus walking down through there, and somebody just like me and just like you. I mean, these people was no different than us. Somebody would reach up to him, grab a handful of his facial hair, rip it out of his face. Bible said he hid not his face from them. He was numbered with the transgressors. Bible said they would spit upon him, and Jesus held his head up. Bible said that he set his face towards Calvary like a flint, friend. And as the rocks flew and the beards got plucked out and the spit landed in his face, Jesus kept his face on Calvary. That was me, you understand? I seen that again this week. I seen the fact again, Steve, that it was you that reached up there. And all of our sin, every time we sin, we grab a handful of hair, yank it out of his head. Every time we sin, Jack, we would get up a big hocker and spit in his face. Every time we rebel, every time we reject the light of God, you understand that word's the light. When you hear the word, you're receiving light. And when that light is shining into your dark heart and you don't take heed to it, you are nailing Jesus Christ to a cross. We're the one. We're the ones that did it. It wasn't that bunch of rebellious punks. If they were gone and we was there, we would have done the same thing with our sin.
Good.
Jesus died on the cross.
That's good.
What did he do? What crime did he commit? Huh?
Preach.
Stephen, it ain't that he grounded you, son. Zach, you didn't come steal your car. Matt, he didn't do anything to you. He ain't hurt you.
Preach.
He ain't broke you.
Preach.
Jesus ain't offended you in no way like that. I tell you what, friend, I promise you unto God, it was so unfair. It was so unjust. It was the innocent dying for the guilty. It was somebody that should have been praised. It was somebody that should have been on a throne. It was somebody that should have been riding in gold chariots. It was somebody that should have had 10,000 crowns. But they put thorns on his head. They said, crucify. Try to be sensitive because I don't want to do anything to grieve the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. I want you to bear witness with me for a second, though. Do you ever think about how stupid we can be when we don't get our way? Just stop and think about it. I've been pretty stupid before because something didn't go my way. Somebody said something to me, somebody did something to me, somebody unsaid something to me, or undid something, didn't do what I wanted to do. You know how many times I've got offended, Mama, because y'all told me as a kid to do things and I had other plans and I couldn't do it? I've got so mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
I got so mad, man, you wouldn't believe some of the wicked thoughts that went through my mind for my mama and my stepdad. Because they had a different idea than what I had, you understand? I mean, son, they told me to do things, and there was times in my life where I run across people, and I mean, son, they've hurt me, they've lied on me, they've done things to me, and I'm telling you, it's made thoughts arise in my mind. And there's been a lot of times where I've lashed out with my mouth, do you hear me? There's been a many times where I've reacted in the wrong way. But Steve, I get about sick and tired of hearing kids talk about their parents.
I get sick and tired of hearing spouses talk about their spouse. I get sick and tired of hearing employees talk about their boss man. Because I'm seeing Jesus walking down that Via Della Rosa. He's never done one thing wrong. People spitting on him. I'm telling you, man, people's jerking his beard out. They're cussing him. They're railing on him. They're making fun of him. It's amazing that this is the Son of God. The Bible said he opened not his mouth. Never said a word. Oh, he got on that cross, ladies and gentlemen, and his mouth began to utter words. And he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do.
Right.
You listen to me.
Right.
There were some Jews around that cross that heard Jesus Christ preach. They heard the gospel from the best preacher that ever has been, son. He told them the truth. They knew exactly what they was doing. But there were some Roman soldiers there that never heard that gospel. Well, Paul never had tread across that country just yet. And they were just as ignorant as they could be, but he followed the orders of God and said, forgive them. Let me tell you something. You can trample over the word of God. You can spit in the face of Jesus Christ. You can turn the lights out. You can rebel against God. Friend, let me tell you something. Good luck with that. Because you know better. You know better. You know you ain't supposed to do this stupid junk. Tell you something, I don't want to face God with a bunch of junk in my life that I knew was wrong, and he had drilled me, and that light was shining, and I did it anyway. I don't want to face God with that.
You say, preacher, what are you, I'm talking about it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God.
Right.
Sure it is.
Right.
So what are you talking about? I'm talking about you better take heed to the things that you've heard. You better learn how to receive that light with gladness before God puts your candle out. What he said in the book of Job, he'd put your lights out, he'd put your candle out. What are you going to do? God don't have to let your light shine another day. He don't have to give you another gospel message. He don't have to do that.
It's just a game I don't want to play. People are dying and going to hell, and some people sitting in this congregation is hanging that way as fast as we can go. Focused on everything else in this world that doesn't matter to a pile of poop. You hear me? Don't mount to a hill of beans. You better get your head out of this world, get your head out of some stinking zipper somewhere and quit having a pity party and get over your little silly philosophy. That's right.
Yeah.
Me, me, me stuff. Quit all that junk. Think about it. You sit in here week in and week out and wouldn't piss on the Bible. You wouldn't piss on the Bible if it was on fire. Are you listening to me? There's some of y'all sitting in here wouldn't piss on the Bible if the Bible was in your lap and it was on fire. You wouldn't pour a hot cup of piss on it. Right. God, I'm talking about, friend. We talk about Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that word of God don't mean nothing to you. Go ahead and play with that God, friend. See how that works out for you. Bible means nothing. Jesus walking up that road means nothing. Underneath that load in Gethsemane, that don't mean nothing. What's it going to take for you? Huh? Wonder what it's going to take. What's it going to take for you? What's it going to take? Do you need a new Jesus? Do you need a new cross? Do you need a new sacrifice? Is what you got not enough? Need somebody else to suffer? Who's going to do it? Who's qualified to do what he done again? How much longer do you expect God to put up with your shenanigans? Answer that question to yourself. How much longer is God going to put up with my rebellion? How much longer is God going to put up with my unbelief? Listen to me. We just got back from New York. We heard missionaries one on top of another. Coming from countries where there was no gospel, and the gospel's opened up, and people's just gathering together. They're wanting God, and people's getting saved, and people's running to Jesus. And we're living in America and got Bible preaching up one side and down the other of every street. And people rejected and sitting in church and yawning and care less about it. And I'm telling you, how much longer is God putting up with our rebellion? I mean, for God's sakes, open your eyes. Just open your eyes. If the preacher's stupid, just open your intelligent eyes. We've got a crook in the White House. We've got two crookeder than that running. One's a female. Probably going to be sitting up there. That's the judgment of God on a nation.
Amen.
Right. Yep. Sodomites going down to the courthouse, getting everything in the world turned their way. You know what that is? That is judgment of God on a nation.
Yes,
God's not going to kill them Sodomites.
No.
Good. You give them a sewer to play in, and left them alone, and give them us. So, they're our judgment. They are our judgment because we've tread the Word of God. We've spit on the face of God. We've cared less about the things of God. God said, I'll let y'all have these Sodomites. Huh? It's tough. I know that's tough, but friend, I want you to understand that's where we're at. I said, if you don't believe the old dumb country preacher, open your intelligent eyes and look at what's going on in this world. It's exactly what God said was going to happen. He said he would judge us through these economy things. He said he's going to judge us with these wicked rulers. He's going to judge us with these Sodomites. And friend, that's what's happening. I'm asking you, how much time do you think you have? How much more time do you think you got? I'm not trying to scare you to an altar, but I would to God you'd at least care. Wish to God you'd at least get a little bit concerned about the things of God and your eternal soul frying in hell. Man, I get up here and I'm willing to risk my friendship and make you hate me, do whatever I gotta do to try to help keep you out of hell. You can hate me, that's fine. That's fine. I don't want you to. I really don't. I want you to love me. But if hate me will help keep you out of hell, it'll help you. I see the Lord. Hate me. Do what you've got to do to see the Lord.
Amen.
When I get to seeing what Jesus suffered and the attitudes and the reactions, I'll be honest with you, Steve, I do get mad. When I see the cold hardness of America and I get to looking at Gethsemane, and I get to seeing my Lord come underneath that load sack. And I get to seeing our reaction sometime. I get mad at me. Right. Well, sorry, but preachers in our land. You know how I got repentance? Let me ask you a question. What have I been talking about Jesus? Is that good stuff? Everything I said about him was goodness, right?
Yeah.
That's how I got to repentance. Because the goodness of God led me to repentance. Only thing I've done, Miss Amber, has told you how good Jesus is. I mean, how little we deserve it, and yet he did it anyway. And how clean he was and how unclean we was. And man, I got to seeing how wicked and vile and wretched I was and what all he done for me. And that brought me to a place, church, of repentance. When they led Jesus away, they did all, they accused him of being a wine bibber. Is that right? They took him away. They said he's a wine bibber. Somebody said, well, he's a friend of sinners. They accused him of, he's a blasphemer. They accused him of everything that they could accuse him of. Sir, I like what Pilate said. He said, boys, I've checked him out. Can't find no fault in him. He said, I can't find no fault in him. He's still scorched. Pretty tough. Can you believe, Amber, that Jesus Christ was being led away and through all of this junk, somebody said, hey, he's a bastard. Mm-hmm. Mm. He was hollering, hey, he's a bastard. Kill that bastard. Kill that bastard. Kill that bastard. You know why? Because God planted a seed in a little virgin girl one day. And her and her man never had known each other before. She gave birth to this child. He had a heavenly father and an earthly mother. And they said, he don't even have a daddy. Joseph's not his daddy. He's a bastard. Kill the bastard. Something you talking about Jesus.
Right.
Huh? You say, why in the name of God would he do that? Put your name right there. He did that for you. He did it for you. He did that for you. I mean, y'all want to walk through the crowd and let people say, kill that bastard.
You'd be mad at 9 wet hens. You'd be ready to fight back. You'd be ready to run out there and choke some of them. I said he opened not his mouth. Huh? Wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we're healed. I'm telling you, church, what a savior. What else do we need? How much more do you need? I'm going to be done. This is talking about the Creator. Called light out of darkness. He called cosmos out of chaos. He's God. They railed on him. Then he made them everything that they ever wanted to be. They threw stones at him. And that's something. They picked up stones and he loved them. I ain't loving people throwing rocks at me. I mean, that's my fault, but tell us what he did. That's why I say, Steve, somebody can say something to us and we get so good out of shape. I'm telling you, they've stolen rocks at him and he didn't get out of shape. Our wife may not agree with us and she may not jump on board with everything we tend to do. And some of us little old sissy five men, we get so bent out of shape because she's got a mind of her own. It's amazing, isn't it? Tell you, man, why? Why in the world would he do that? Because he's God. He's God. This was no ordinary death. This was God dying. This is God dying. This is them taking the Godhead and ripping it apart. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. John 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and I'm done with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which shineth with light of every man that cometh into the world. Did you hear that? Did you hear what they said? Don't give me your little PA excuse why you can't be saved.
Right.
That light shines on every man that comes into this world.
Right.
Now, nobody ever go to hell in the dark.
Right.
Nobody ever go to hell in the dark. That light shines on everybody. He has put the Word of God in our hearts.
Right.
It's there. People reject it and turn away from it, and our heart is so deceitful and wicked that it tells us that God never give us a chance. Well, then he said, where was I at? But as many as received it, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood nor the flesh, nor of the will of the flesh, but nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word of God was made flesh, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me, and of His fullness have we all received.
Right.
Grace for grace.
Right.
What a God. What else do you need?
Mm-hmm.
What else you need? He's give us everything we need. What else you waiting on? What are you waiting on?
Mm-hmm.
What are you waiting on? Don't make me get raw. What are you waiting on? Be honest with yourself. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, dear Lord, for the precious Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that it lights us up, Lord, all the way from from here to eternity. We want to thank you. God, I pray that you'd take the precious thoughts of the Word of God today and touch the hearts, God, of the people sitting here. I thank you, God, for every soul sitting in this place today. God, there's some hearts here, Lord, that's lost without you. I pray, God, that you'd convert them souls. Lord, I pray that you'd save the sinners that's in this congregation.
Yes.
Work on them. Oh, God, I pray that you'd give the increase. Oh, blessed God, I pray that you'd save that soul before it's too late. God, I pray that you'd help the homes of this congregation. Help us, God, just to gather around the Word of God and, Lord, to grow thereby. I pray, God, that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, I pray that you'd bless the food now that we're about to eat. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.